let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Great to have you with us on the program today. Our guest, as mentioned, author, best-selling author, Nina Spencer, lauded by the National Post as one of our nation's leading motivational speakers, appearing as a recurring communications expert on Biz TV, News Talk Radio, many of other media sources. She has addressed clients such as Exxon, State Farm, Xerox, AT&T. The best-selling author of Getting Passion Out of Your Profession, How to Keep Loving Your Living Come What May, and the latest book, A Time to Creep, A Time to Soar, Lesson Learned for Work and Life from Climbing Kilimanjaro, the world's tallest freestanding mountain. And she's with us on today's program. We're going to talk about getting passion out of your profession, how to keep loving your living come what may. Nina, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Oh, thanks. Hello, Rick. How are you today?
I am doing fine and looking forward to talking about this. It is a fascinating topic. It is a best-selling book. And the first point you make in the book is passion is a choice. And that sort of hits you as you're reading through that, because so often we sort of lose that passion. And then I guess when you think it through, it's like, well, subconsciously it's happening. We really could turn this around. And you guide us through that process in the book. Talk about the fact that it is a choice and how we end up sort of like losing it, especially if we've been at a job for a long period of time.
Well, I'm even thinking of the classic Abraham Lincoln line about most people are as happy as, I may be paraphrasing a touch, but most people are about as happy as they intend to be or plan to be.
Exactly.
And I think, yeah, how does that go, Rick? Do you know it off by heart?
That's good enough for me, no, but that says it all. I mean, we basically dictate the environment we're functioning in.
Well, and so therefore, every day when you wake up, I know it seems a bit corny to say or perhaps a platitude, but there's often so much reality, so much truth in these things. They become platitudes because there is truth in them. And the idea that every morning when you wake up, you got a choice to make. What way are you going to go? And this is the only day that's in front of you. Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow's not here yet. So this is the choice. What am I going to do with this day? And to see if you can reach inside no matter what, even if you've got pains at work or pains in private life or difficult people to interact with, promise yourself, I'm going to do the very, very best just for today. That whole philosophy of just for today, I'm going to do my level best to think positively, to focus on whatever is delivered to me today, and to find the good in the job, even if it's not the best job or the ideal job. This is the job that I have right now, and unless I win the lottery or get a big inheritance or go crazy and just quit out of the blue, this is where I am today. So how can I reach inside and do the best for myself today, for those that I interface with, and just make the best of it.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned a lottery, because in your book, Getting Passion Out of Your Profession, you talk about four people who won basically life generational altering lotteries, and yet they all were missing something and went back into the workforce. You talk about Oprah and Bill Gates. They still have daily jobs. So it's not necessarily having a gazillion dollars, is it? It's having that passion for doing something.
And you never know. Sometimes I think you have to remember to keep heart, because just today, coincidentally, just today I was reading in the newspaper, I was reading a few back editions. I've got about a week's worth of newspapers to read. So I think it was on this day in 1986, it was last week in 1986, Oprah went from being a Chicago-based program, she went coast to coast. And who knew back then for her? I mean, I'm sure she had a dream about it, but you just never know where things are going to go. So go with it as best you can. And absolutely, even people who have all of that financial prosperity, after a while, they get a little bored just sitting on the couch eating bonbons or floating around the Mediterranean or down in the Caribbean. And they want to make a productive contribution. Too much slack. Too little stress in our life, because we know intellectually that there is such thing as positive stress, and positive stress helps you to get out of bed in the morning. So there's value in holding some tension in your muscles and having something that helps to move you forward. And even those people that win lotteries eventually want to to do something than just loaf around for a while. Although, if you're overworked right now, you're probably thinking, man, I could use some loafing around for
at least
2 or 3 months.
6-8 months, and I'll give it a job. I'll call Munster, get a hold of Munster.com after a while, but enjoy it for a few months at least. The book is called Getting Passion Out of Your Profession, How to Keep Loving Your Living, Come What May, a bestseller. Nina Spencer, the author, our guest on This Week in America. Her website is ninaspencer.com. Go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and you can link on directly. You talk about so many of us put our career, subconsciously do it, on autopilot. And then you talk about how we can sort of break out of that. And something interesting, and we all lose sight of that that euphoria that we had, that when we found out we got the job we really wanted, that excitement, euphoria, that first day on the job. And you say it's really good to go back sometimes and focus on that and remember how excited we were when we started this particular job.
If I could give you a harp right now and do that flashback sort of music ask you to think back to the day that you first got your first job in radio, or your first job as a nurse, or your first job as a teacher, or whatever the profession is, and remember how it felt when you went through the competition process, the interviewing process, and then they phoned you up, or you got maybe an email, or you were told in person, congratulations, you are the successful candidate. Not this guy, not this guy, not this guy, but you are the successful candidate for the job. You do a little dance as you walk out of the office, or you put down the phone and you do a jig. The next thing you know, you're phoning up your loved ones and you're telling them, guess what, I've got great news. And then sometimes people even go off to dinner or celebration. This calls for a celebration. And then you fast forward to some difficult day 5 years, 10 years later, and you think, to think I cried tears of joy the day I got this job. What was I thinking? So what I really think, Rick, is that it helps for each one of us to take a pause, to step back, to use that harp music, if that's what it takes, and flash back to that buzz that you got, that feeling that you had when you were told that you got the job, and then how you felt when you took yourself to that job on the first day and the first week and so on, and just how if you think of it like a vehicle, you were driving it manually. You didn't have it on autopilot. You were holding the steering wheel. You were feeling the wheels of the road and moving forward in the experience. But we can start sleepwalking, and then we let our guard down. We end up interfacing oftentimes with negative people who are either our colleagues, sometimes they're difficult external clients. Next thing you know, that contamination is seeping into your soul. It's seeping into your heart. And then you throw it back out to the world, to your family, to your customers, or so on. And it's a downward spiral.
You mentioned so many.
I'm just talking about fortifying it. Put on your bulletproof vest and fortify yourself so that all that stuff that can come at you only gets so far. And the rest of the way you have made up your mind to be protected.
And you give us practical ways you can do that. You talk about some of the things that enter into to our lives that take some of that joy out of the day-to-day activity. In your book, Getting Passion Out of Your Profession, you give us some areas of our lives that we can make some changes, some positive changes, tangible things we can do. One area you talk about is be true to yourself. And you basically say what we need to sort of do a regular review, and maybe once a year sort of do like a sort of a job interview, right, where we go back and really assess ourselves for that year, and you do it objectively, and we learn a lot about ourselves and maybe answer some of these questions we have about why we're not getting the satisfaction out of the job anymore.
And on top of all of that, Rick, the whole idea of what are the words that are coming out of your mouth? I recall a study quite some time ago now that said that the average one-year-old child hears the word no over 472 times a day or some sort of number like that. So even if it's just for illustrative purposes, the point is, even if we're forward-thinking, hopeful, optimistic, generally upbeat sorts of people professionally and in personal life, we still might be using a lot of negative thoughts, a lot of negative words every single day as we communicate with loved ones, children, colleagues, and clients. and it can undermine the result that you get from them. So some of the ways, one of the ways to fortify yourself is to start thinking, to almost step out of yourself and observe yourself lovingly, kindly, not critically, and take a look at the words that are coming out of your mouth. The difference, of course, between things like, I can't do anything about this for you, Rick, until I've talked with Joe, becomes, I'll know what I can do about this for you, Rick, once I've spoken with Joe. Just that subtle nuance of changing language, the difference between, have I caught you at a bad time? You know how people knock on your door,
yes,
or they call you up and say, hey, Rick, have I caught you at a bad time? Now they've gone and done it. They painted the picture of bad time, and we all know what that is, how that feels, that irritation or that stress. So if you need to share information or if you need to give information, and quite frankly, I even do this when I call home to my own husband. Instead of saying, is this a bad time? I say, is this a good time? Can you talk right now? Have I caught you at a good time? So on purpose, learning how to take your autopilot negative language, because you can be very positively focused and still be using these kinds of phrases, if you will. Even thank you for holding, thank you for waiting. Now, Rick, when I say thank you for holding, thank you for waiting, do you think, what's wrong with that?
Well, yeah, because it's just reminding me that I'm waiting and I'm getting more irritated that I'm waiting and you're telling me that I'm waiting, reinforcing the fact that I'm waiting. So, yes, that in the chapter in your book, Mind Your Words, and this is so crucial, I think, and we'll talk about the annotation and in social media words in that. But let's talk about that. We hear that, when you're on the line and they thank you for holding.
Precisely. Instead of thank you for holding, thank you for waiting, when I do this in a workshop format, or if I'm doing a conference keynote and I give the audience a minute just to turn to the person beside and discuss this, I'll often overhear people saying, well, what's wrong with this? This is what I say. What's wrong with that? And my response is, it's not a right or a wrong or a good or a bad. It's this is what most everybody says. And this is a way that works better if you're working on trying to keep the harmony between you and others in the workplace or in your day, no matter who you're interfacing with. Because what happens is, moment by moment by moment, we use these words instead of those words, and then every now and then those words irritate the other person, and then the trouble starts, and then the passion starts to go down, down, down because of all of the irritations that can seep into a day. So if you can learn to say, instead of thank you for holding, because nobody wants to hold, or thank you for waiting, instead of saying those, you say thank you for your
patience.
Yay! Yeah, thank you for your patience. It's amazing, and I hope that listeners will give this a try. If there's one thing that you can take away from this time together, that would be a wonderful morsel to fold into your daily living from this point on.
Well, you talk about something
else
that I think is important. The book is Getting Passion Out of Your Profession, How to Keep Loving Your Living Come What May. The author is Nina Spencer. It's a best-selling book. Her website is ninaspencer.com. Books available all across the country. Information you can link on directly at our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And this always drives me crazy. Instead of putting but in the middle of the sentence as sort of the qualifier, you say use and it changes the whole texture of that conversation, doesn't it, when you eliminate but and put and in there?
Yes, and let's make sure that we're talking about the but with one T, right?
Yes, 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 definitely the shorter version of that. Yes.
Sure, and if you are going to use the word but, do it full of mindfulness. Know that you're doing it and doing it purposefully because you recognize the strategy of it. Here's what happens, though. Most of us, even if we're forward-thinking, hopeful, optimistic people, we use the word but because maybe we need to give a communication that has two messages in it, and we bridge it with the word but. I think that we've done terrific work on our team in 2016, but
yes,
we need to do better in 2017. So what is everybody listening to? The minute they hear the but word, they're not bothering to hear the praise that came first.
Exactly.
They're listening to the not-so-good stuff that came afterwards. And yet perhaps the person who was communicating it wanted to have both of these declarations stand in equal measure. But that's not what people hear. They just hear the second part. So if you change the word B-U-T for A-N-D, the rhythm of the message becomes different, and the way it seeps into the ears of the other becomes different. For example, I think that we've done terrific work as a team here at work in 2016, and we need to think of ways to do even better in 2017. So it allows the first part to stand alone and still have a place of honor.
Exactly.
And be acknowledged before. Now, every now and then, Rick, somebody will say, that just feels too weird. It's awkward. I can't do that. It doesn't work. In that case, I would recommend that you use the word OR instead, a period. So I'm saying, or use a period and then take a next breath.
Right.
How would I share this? I think we've done terrific work on our team this year, period. How can we do even better in 2017?
Yes, because that leaves that praise there. You're not qualifying that, because but sort of like negates everything that comes before that, and we focus on what comes after the but.
Now, I don't mind encouraging the use of the word B-U-T as long as it's strategic, and do it in reverse. We've had a really rough quarter this year. We've had a really rough half year in 2016. But the good news is, so you see, there is a time and place for it.
Yes.
What I'm really appealing to my readers and my audiences and your listeners is to just be mindful of how much that word comes out of your mouth without thought. 97%. Your kids are all back at school now. They get 97% on a test. Well, this is terrific. 97% is wonderful, darling. But what happened to the other 3%?
Yes, but you'll have 3% on the table. A couple minutes left in the program, and Nina will be back with us on the show. We're talking about her book, Getting Passion Out of Your Profession, How to Keep Loving Your Living, Come What May. I mentioned social media, and that to me brings up a whole set of communication issues in minding your word, because there's no voice inflection that we can understand. It could be meant as something humorous. We see it on paper, and it doesn't come across necessarily is humorous, or we see the abbreviations. Social media, does that bring a whole new set of problems to being mindful of your words and making sure people understand correctly what you're trying to, the point you're trying to get across?
Yes, absolutely. When we don't have the person in front of our face and we can't hear the inflection, the tone of their voice, then we are putting it ourselves at a tremendous disadvantage trying to interpret what it is that they're sharing with us. And especially on top of that, with social media, oftentimes we do it in teeny-weeny sound bites, especially when texting or even tweeting.
Right, right.
You're cropping it down so that it almost becomes emotionless at some point. So you can't even read the emotion in there unless you're finding some way around that. But definitely, then words become more powerful. And there is lots more room on those platforms for misinterpretation. And the misinterpretation can cause animosity. And the other person may not even bother to tell you that they're put out or irritable
right.
or irritated with you. And you think everything's great, but it isn't necessarily so. Sometimes, as old-fashioned as it may sound, sometimes there comes a point where it's still a fabulous idea to pick up the phone. Pick up the phone, have a real-time, audible conversation. And if you can spare the time, even remember the value and the importance in our humanity of face-to-face communications.
Yeah, and sometimes you have communications and you're looking down at the floor, or the person is looking down at the floor as they're talking to you, and it's like, I think we've lost something here. Why don't you go back in your office? I'll go back in mine, and we'll text back and forth, and everything will be fine. It's a shame that we've come to that. The book is excellent. It's very easy to see why it's a bestseller. It's called Getting Passion Out of Your Profession, How to Keep Loving Your Living, Come What May. Nina Spencer is the author. Her website is ninaspencer.com. You can link on directly at our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Go directly, of course, to the website. The book is available all across the country, Getting Passion Out of Your Profession. Nina will be back on the program. We'll talk about her second bestseller that I mentioned in the introduction. So much more to talk about. Nina, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for being with us on the program, and much more to talk about. We will have you back soon.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, Rick. You have a wonderful rest of day.
You as well. And once again, the book is Getting Passion Out of Your Profession. Nina Spencer, our guest on This Week in America. Information available at our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.